Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't drink, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into. Just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministry. We are so glad that you could join us on tonight. We are just thankful that God has given us a platform where we can go into your individual homes throughout the world and be a blessing to some, to a blessing to those. We have a guest call-in number. If you should need prayer, feel free to call us. Our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Again, our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Tonight we will be continuing our discussion from last week called The Age of Moral Decay. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that on tonight. Just cut on the evening news and you can see how our nation is going to hell in a handbasket. Sad thing is, the church is going to hell in a handbasket, it appears. You know, and it's just been a burden on Bishop and my heart to come before you, to let you know there is an urgency in this matter. There's an urgency, saints. If you're a Christian and you don't feel that urgency in your heart, my God, things are just, it's never like it has been since, and I'm in my 60s. So let's just go back 15 years ago and fast forward to 15 years to today. You can see the moral decay. My heart aches when you have preachers teaching a fluffed up gospel, not feeding God's sheep. The little sheeps are literally starving because they need the word. They need that meat of the word to help them to grow. And they're not getting it. They're getting fluffed. They're getting manipulated. They're getting controlled. My God, my God. There's a burden on our heart tonight that we have to pray. God is calling for all the intercessors. Time is winding up, saints. We don't have a lot of time. So on tonight, we will continue our discussion. We're just so delighted that you were with us. I'm going to open up with prayer. And there's been a song on my heart. We're going to be kind of a little bit talking about Zion, God's chosen people, God's remnant. God is calling Zion back to himself. Come back, Zion. Yeah, you was in a backslidden state, but I love you. Come on back. Come back home where you belong. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, Lord God. David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Lord God, we just so honored that you have given us this platform to come before your people and teach the unadulterated word. So, Lord God, right now we just humble ourselves so that you could take control of this platform. Holy Ghost, we ask you to lead on tonight. Lord God, if there's any watching that is afflicted, oppressed, possessed, right now, we come against those spirits and we break that demonic control off their lives right now in the name of Jesus. We cancel your assignment off of God's people and we say, let them go. Release them now. You foul spirit, you have vexed and tormented God's people long enough and it's time. Take your hand off of them. Let them go. Amen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And before we start, I got a praise song. It's an old praise song, but it took me way back. And I heard it, and I said, this is the song that the old saints used to sing. You know, nowadays, they kind of don't push the older saints out of the church. They say, you old-fashioned. We postmodernists now. We got a new thing going on. We don't want the holiness part. What happened to the old mothers on the mother's bench and the deacons that were praying until the power of God fell? What happened to the anointing when the people would run to the altar to be delivered? What happened? Come on, Zion. Let's get back to the old landmark. So I'm going to let you listen to this song. I hope it bless you. Like I said, it's an old song, but I hope it bless you. Amen. We had it in Illinois. Amen. Yes.
Grandmama, when she didn't get up, she said, I gotta raise this thing.
That's that old Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Take it back. I don't know what will. What's the matter, Ryan? You don't sing like you used to sing. You don't shout like you used to shout. You don't pray like you used to pray. Hallelujah. What's wrong, Ryan? I see you, Monica Trinette. Sister Keisha, thank you for tuning in. Judy Malone. I just took you back. I took you way back. Amen. They don't even sing the songs they used to sing. Those was the kind of songs that would stir something up in you and get your feet stumping and get you to shouting and praising God. But let's get on to our scriptures tonight, and then I will yield the floor over to Bishop. But I just wanted to kind of elaborate on what we talked about last week. Judges 21:25. It says, in those days, there were no king in Israel. Joshua had passed on. He had died on. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Sound like we're going through that today. Amen. Though God was their king, think about this, every man would be his own master. They don't want to answer to nobody, as if there was no king. Blessed be God for majesty. Amen. Think about that. This is not talking to the world. This is talking about to God's children, to God's people today. They did what was right in their own eyes. Didn't matter what God says. Didn't matter what his word says. You would take the scriptures to fit you rather than you coming up and lining yourself up to the scripture. You would take out what you didn't want to hear and you would put in what you wanted to hear. And I see a lot of preaching is doing this today. They say, well, we don't want to rock the boat or we don't want to ruffle any feathers. So we're not going to preach on that. Amen. Sister Malone said Judges 21:29. Let's turn to that. Let's read Judges 21:29. And if you have your scriptures, turn with us. Because like I said, this is a study in the word. And this is what we do. We'll be on every, Lord willing, you know, when we can, but every Saturday at 7:30 Eastern time. Amen. So if you have Judges 21:29, let's read that. And I will read it out of the King James Version. Amen. Amen. So it says, Judges 21:29, 21:25. Okay. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that is to say the age of moral decay. Like they said, as the church goes, so the nation goes. When the church stopped preaching holiness, there goes the nation. Because believe it or not, the church shouldn't be patterning themselves after the world. But the world should be looking at us as an example. You see what I'm saying? But it's twisted. The church is looking to the world. What can we do to bring more people in the church? Whether it's compromise, whether we have Michael Jackson, Thriller on the stage. You see, all type of perversion is going on in the house of God. And you're saying, what's the matter with Zion? Well, Evangelist is going to tell you what's the matter with Zion. Look over here in Zechariah, the 8th chapter, it says 8 and 3. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. Now, if you are a child of God, you have been adopted into this royal priesthood, then you are part of Zion. God ain't talking to the world. The world, we know they're going to do what they do. But the church should have some standards that they should go by. That book, that Holy Bible is your handbook. That should be your reference guide. You don't have to take my word for it. If you don't know what holiness means, look in that reference guide. Now, we're not talking about what you put on or what you wear. That is outward appearance. But God said what comes out of the heart defiles a man. And we can go on and tell you some of the things. He said lying, murder, adultery, fornicators, backbiters, witchcraft, sorcery. These things come out of the heart, not what you put on. You see? But sometimes we get it so twisted that we think, well, this makes you saved because you don't eat this or you don't dress like this. That don't make you sanctified. Let's get this straight. You can put on long dresses and not wear no makeup, but you can be full of the devil. So you got some of us going to need some deliverance after tonight because we've been living a lie. Okay, let's go on. God's holy mountain, holiness, sanctification. I'm going to give you the words consecration. That's what it means. When you say sanctification, it means you just setting yourself apart from the world, setting yourself aside so God can use you fully. God can't dwell in no unclean temple. I don't care how much you jump and shout. If you got these things that is burdening your heart down, you need to repent. And I'm getting to that part because, you know, repentance, they don't even want to talk about it nowadays in the church. What is repentance? Okay, we're going to define that for you tonight. It means sanctification, dedication, sanctification, holiness are various renderings of one Hebrew word used to identify when someone is used of God. You know, they used to make fun of, they were called the Old Holiness Church or the Sanctified Church. You see what I'm saying? But that would mean because they were looking at our lives and we were set apart. Not weird, not weirdos, but set aside. We can't do what the world does. Look, I've been bought with a price. Paul said we have been purchased with his blood. So therefore, we shouldn't be living like the world. Amen. Think about something. I want to break it down to you. If you go and purchase a house and you spend your money on that house, would you want strangers coming living in that house? I think some of us would run them up out of there. And I'm paying the mortgage? Mm-mm. You're getting up out of here. Well, this is how your temple should be. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your temple, you shouldn't have every foul, strange bird dwelling in that temple, when you should be set aside for God's use. We need to do some spiritual cleaning tonight, saints. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. I pray every day, Lord, if there's anything in me that ain't like you, you take it out. You cleanse me. Purify me. See, this is what sanctification means. It's a daily walk with God. It's not a time like where you could put them on the shelf, take them down when you don't, when you need them or when you need a quick fix or a blessing. No, this is a daily lifestyle. This is how we should live. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, it is marvelous in his eyes when he see his remnant, his people. He said that is marvelous when he see you walking upright and when you setting yourself aside to be used of God. Then Sister Malone said, Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh. He said, we have to crucify the flesh daily. You know, the flesh is something, it'll rise up when you least expect it. You could be driving down in Atlanta traffic. Sometimes I have to pray. But this is just showing you how we are, you know, children of God, but we do need to pray daily to crucify the flesh. He said the remnant, that's over in Zechariah 8:6, refers to the remnant of Judah, which returned from Babylon, among whom Zechariah was prophesying to. God is saying he wants you to return back to him. He will take you back. Amen. No matter how far you done went out there, God is able to take you back. He wants you to call on him. He wants you to come back to him. Come on back home, Zion. But now I will not be unto the residue, he said, in the former days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, said the Lord of hosts. And he said, he repented not. Repentance. Repentance is the English word used to translate the Hebrew nacham, N-A-C-H-A-M, means to be eased or comforted. It is used both God and man. So you see, when God say repentance, it means to change his mind, okay? You can't tell me you truly repented and you still doing what you used to do. Come on now. We see that a lot. And we want to thank Sister Charlene Ray for looking in. Praise you, sister. But repentance means change of mind. You see, in those days, Jerusalem was made the center of the earth's worship. Just like the world, look at the Christians nowadays. We should be an example to the world. Amen. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things, demonic spirit, idol gods, that swarm on the earth. Did you hear what I just said?
Amen.
You got to set yourself aside. Yeah, I know it's a lot going on in the world, but you need to, look, there are some things you need to just say, look, I can't be part of that. My God would not be pleased with that. Now, I'm telling you something truthfully. If you are a Christian and you know there's things that you know God is not pleased with, something in your heart should be pricked and say, Lord, I got to get it right with you because I know what I'm doing is not pleasing to you. Amen. Then you have Leviticus 19 and 2. He says, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, ye shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy. I'm not making this up. This is the word. But yet the church don't want to talk about holiness. Then Leviticus 20:26, thus you are to be holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine.
Amen.
Then you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, here's Peter, 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Throughout the Bible. What happened where we teaching this half-baked doctrine that once saved, always saved, and you don't have to repent. Okay, I know I'm stepping on some toes, but I'll go there too. Because there, throughout the Bible, when Jesus would heal someone, he would say, what, go and sin no more. What happened to the church telling them, okay, God set you free of these spirits, but if you go back out there, seven more worse than the one was cast out will come back on you. What happened to that kind of teaching?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the altar calls where the people would come up there and you were, it was just a little, nowadays they just do a little dabble, do you? I mean, we would get saturated with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Deuteronomy 23:14. Since the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you, and to defeat your enemies before you. Therefore, your camp, this is your house. And I'm paraphrasing. He said your camp, but I'm saying your temple must be holy. And he must not see anything indecent among you, or he will turn from you. Now that's deep. Deuteronomy 23:14. God looks at the heart, true enough, but if you got all kinds of uncleanness and filthiness in your heart, he said he will turn away from you. Evangelist didn't say that. The Lord said that. Amen. So I wanted to just bring you that. I know Bishop got come on. He has to come as the Lord lead him. But, you know, we're in evil times, saints. And tell someone, you know, we need to come back. Amen. Sure, I will definitely send you these scriptures. I will email them to you. Amen. I'll send them over. If we have a guest call-in number, if you need to call in for prayer, be sure to call in. Our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. At that, Evangelist will yield the floor. You, we love you guys. Keep us in your prayers. And Bishop will be next. Amen.
Amen. We just want to thank the Lord for what
Evangelist Montgomery said in reference to our subject matter on tonight, the age of moral decay, a continuation of this. And I'd just like to say we really appreciate and we are thankful for everyone who listens to our program on tonight. And we pray that you all would receive revelation from your word. And we want you to know also that we are not giving our opinions on anything. That's one thing I want you to know. What we are doing is giving the true word of God in its entirety. We may add something in reference to the word. We might go to various descriptions or things of that nature. But we want you to know that we are not giving you anything that is just from our own opinions. As I say so many times, my opinion really doesn't matter when it comes to the things of God. But what really matters is the true word of God. That's the reason why we are in the age of moral decay now. Because many individuals, when they preach and teach the word, they preach it and bend it to what they like or what they want or what fits them or what makes them feel comfortable. And nowhere in the word of God did any of the prophets do that. Did Jesus Christ do that? Did the apostles do that? None of them did that. All of them spoke according to however God gave it to them, or however the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost gave them that word, that's what they did, and that's what we will do. So we give you whatever the Lord gives us in this matter. But as I said, I like to keep bringing out our subject matter. Now, the age of moral decay, you say, well, what's that? How is that? What's going on with that? Well, here's how the enemy works, and then I'll get into the word. The enemy works on individuals, okay? If he can break down the moral character of an individual, that same individual will affect others. I'll give you an example. If the enemy can attack a husband or wife in a family, degrade his moral standards, all right? Confuse him in a matter of what is really right and wrong. Remember, last week we talked about relativism. You know, they deal with that somewhat in college. Situational ethics. The ends justify the means. All those things fall in the category of morality or right and wrong. If you can skew a person's mindset of what is right or what is wrong, this person could be easily led down the wrong path. That's what happens when many people get in cults. The aspect of right and wrong is skewed, is twisted, is perverted. I'll say this. I heard this was a priest, and it was newsworthy. It got on the news. He was being tried for pedophilia, but he said he didn't know that pedophilia was wrong. This was a priest now. He said that. He said that he did not know that pedophilia was wrong. He didn't see anything wrong with it. Of course, he was on his way to jail, but at the time, he said he didn't know anything was wrong with it. Huh? How can you have that kind of mindset? How can your morals be that messed up? How can that be? Because society goes that way. But I would say this. When a society goes that way, and they can hardly tell the difference between what is right and wrong according to God's standards of what is right and wrong, you know what? It's not long before that nation falls. And I don't care how powerful the nation is or how great the nation is, when they fall, when they lose their concept of what is really right and wrong, and they live that way, it's not long before many times a lesser nation comes along and defeats them, or the weather starts acting up. Volcanoes, earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, weather you've never heard of before, starts to happen to that nation. And why is it happening? It's happening because they have turned their backs on the true and living God. And I have to say this. I'm going to say this. Some people believe that because they don't believe in something, that that something doesn't exist or that thing doesn't exist. Many people in this country, in this nation, believe that there is no God. But what does that matter? Because your unbelief does not change the fact that God is real. It does not change the fact that he is all powerful. It does not change the fact that he is still in control despite what's going on in the world. God is in control and is working toward his end goal. You say, well, what you talking about, Pastor? What you talking about, Preacher? What you talking about, Bishop? I'm talking about what I just said. Everything that's happening right now is in reference to the prophecy that our Lord and Savior said when he walked the earth. It's in reference to the prophecy that God said in the Old Testament. It's in reference to everything that is written in Scripture is coming to pass right now. God said these things thousands of years ago, and it's coming to pass. What did God say he was going to do with his people when they disobeyed him? What did he say he was going to do? He said he was going to scatter them all over the world. Are they not scattered? God's people have been scattered all over the world because of what? Disobedience. But God says something wonderful, and it's a familiar scripture. He said, if my people, you notice he said my people. I want to bring that out. He didn't say the world. He didn't say foreigners. He said my people, the people, his chosen people, the people that he called his own. He said my people with what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face, cease from their wicked ways. That's what he said. Turn back to him. He said, then I will hear them and I will heal their land. In other words, what he said was he would bring them back to him. He would change their mindset. He would take out that corrupt mind and that stony heart and put in them a heart of flesh and a mind that would follow after him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we got to remind, what are we talking about now? We're talking about moral decay, the age of moral decay. That covers a time, a whole time frame. This country has been going down since they have rejected God. Now, somebody might say, well, what do you mean going down? We the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. People got plenty of money. They got cars. They have houses. Everything seems to be going good, but they don't know the difference between right and wrong. How can you be successful? How can you be really a powerhouse when you can be so easily persuaded to do what's wrong? And at the same time you're saying it's wrong, you're doing wrong, you're saying it's right. And you're telling other people this. You see it every day. You got perversion throughout the land. You got abortion rampant. I mean, and it's so bad now that it's going to other countries. I mean, when people used to look to us to righteousness, they're looking to us and we leading them wrong as a nation. So what does that mean? That means the people of the Most High God must stand their ground. I want to say this to you, and then I'm going to get into the word. I don't want to take up too much time like this, but it's true. there was a particular individual. I'm gonna give this testimony and then I'm gonna leave it alone. Particular individual gave a testimony at one time that he was in a bad situation, and he said when he was in this bad situation, a huge man appeared to him. It was an angel. And this angel was fully garbed in his full armor. He had a large sword. And the angel came to him. I want you all to know this. The angel came to him and talked to the young man, reminded him of some things. The angel told him, say, you remember when someone was about to shoot you? I was there. That's the reason the gun didn't fire. Do you remember the time when you almost drowned? You reminded him. I was there. That's why you didn't drown. You remember all those other times that things was happening negatively to you. I was there. And because I was there is the reason that you survived. And one thing the angel told this young man, he told him this. He said, continue on because we are winning. Saints, did you hear what I said? Despite the horrible things that's going on in this world, despite us being in this age of moral decay, we are winning this spiritual warfare. So be encouraged. Continue to pray. Continue to fast. Continue to hold up the bloodstained banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to live right because we are winning. One thing the angel said, too, he said this. He said there are many principalities and powers that's doing their thing on the earth. But he said, you don't have to worry about that. Saints, children of God, people out there listening, you don't have to worry about those principalities and powers because they got them. God got them. The angels are beating them back. Only thing we have to be concerned about is living our life for Christ, being holy, being acceptable to his standards, living righteous according to his righteousness, and not bending and bowing to this lukewarmness or this moral decay that's going on in the land or it's just sickening what's going on. But we can be encouraged that regardless of what's happening, we are winning. Saints, we can't continue to look at the circumstances because what the enemy does in many cases, he throws up smoke screens. Smoke, what they say, smoke and mirrors, where nothing is as it really seems. Nothing is as it really seems. He wants you to think that you're losing the battle when you're really at your victory. But okay, let me get on into some things. We're talking about the age of moral decay, the age when people don't know the difference between right and wrong, or they say they don't, but they really do. They just want to continue in their error. They don't want to repent. Remember what the evangelist Montgomery said about repentance? Repentance is not, well, I say I repent, I'm sorry. And as soon as you say you repent and you're sorry, you do the same thing you just did before you ask for repentance. Before you ask the Lord to forgive you. That's not repentance. That's nothing. God knows your heart. And I hear a lot of people say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does know your heart. And he know we all need to repent and mean it. That's what he knows. He knows our heart. He knows what's in there. But Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what it said in Jeremiah. He says, desperately wicked above all things. And who can know it? But God knows it. So think about that before you start saying stuff like that. God knows my heart because he knows your heart. And we need to, you know, be concerned about that. He know your heart better than you know your heart. Oh, Yeah. Yes, he does. But let's get back into the Word of God. So say, in this day and time, because things are so messed up and so evil, how does a Christian in today's world, how do we remain faithful to God? Well, many of you already know, but I'm going to go back over it some more. Because as that angel said, we are in a real war, okay? It's a real war that we're in. It's not fought with guns and bullets and knives and swords, but it's fought by the Spirit of the living God. That's how it's fought. It's fought by a real eternal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God has given us various equipment to fight this war. So one, and we hear it so many times, but see, when it says put on the whole armor of God, though he gives you that armor, guess what? You have to put it on. You have to seek it. You have to put it on. Ephesians 6. Say, put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand. We have to stand against the what? The wiles, the strategies, the tricks, all this of the devil. I said strategies and tricks, because many times he's not just going to make a frontal attack where you know, oh, that's the devil, so I know I need to fight him. No, he's going to come around about, come behind you, come on the side of you. He's going to do some sneaky stuff. So we have to be aware of the wiles of the devil. But how do we know that? We know that by the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God will reveal to us the tactics of the enemy. Why? So we can get our defenses right. So we can prepare. So we can fight against him. The scripture said for us to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Now, that's what the Word of God says. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, you have to submit first to who? God. And then what do? You resist the devil. And what does the devil do? He flees from you. Okay? Why? Why is he fleeing? It's not so much because of you. It's because of the power of God in you. Because the enemy knows that you are a child of God and that you are operating in the authority that Jesus Christ has given you. So he got to go. He got to go. And he does. The scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6, 11 through 12. But remember, what did the angel say? He said, in reference to principalities, those demonic spirits over whole regions of land, he said, God got something for them too. And we don't have to worry about them. The only thing we have to worry about is these little demons and things running around down here. That's going around lying and trying to say that they got all this power and that their principalities and all this kind of stuff. They're just big liars to trick and deceive you. But now, and I'm not saying they don't have power. They do. But think about this. You have the Spirit of God residing in you. You are covered in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been given authority by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has given us power over these things. So we can stand in that power because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. And not only do we know who we are in Christ Jesus, those other spirits, they know also. But if they can trick and deceive you into, you know, not believing that you have that authority and that power and that strength over them, that's what they will do. And how do they do that? By troubling up the water. Remember when Peter was walking on the water coming to Jesus? Oh, he was doing good. But when them waves start rising up and that wind start blowing, that water start hitting him in the face, and he started looking at the circumstances around him, he took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sing. But he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus reached out and pulled him up, and he asked him, hey, Peter, what happened? He said, what is your faith, man? You were doing good. You were doing good. See, I mean, you had it, man. You had it beat. What happened? Well, the Lord knew what happened, and Peter knew what happened. So we have to, and especially in this day and age, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Because if not, we will fall right into this moral decay. We'll become just like the world. We'll become just like those folks out there in the world. And before we know it, before you know it, you'll be doing the same thing they're doing. You'll be saying the same thing they're doing. You'll be drinking the same drink they drink. You'll be going to the clubs and everything else. There's no telling what you might do. Remember what the scripture says. It says, evil communication corrupt good manners. In other words, you can't be buddy-buddy with the world. You can't be so tight with worldly people that you do what they do. There must be a distinction between right and wrong, between God and the devil, between light and darkness. You know, but one thing that's true, as Evangelist Montgomery said, and many other saints would say, and when you start living right, your old friends, a lot of them, they don't want to fool with you anymore. I mean, you know, you cramp their style. You're not a good partier anymore. You know, when you get good and saved like that, when you get that Spirit of God on you, and you get that Holy Ghost, and you start reading that word and believing it and living it, now some of them you may be able to draw in because they want something from God. But those that don't want anything from God, they gonna drop you like a hot potato. No, but you're never gonna draw anybody to Christ by acting like them. Compromising and you know this, that, and the other thing, it's not gonna work. But anyway, let's go on. Let's go on. Ooh, my Lord. Anyway, let me say one other thing here. God is good. He's got everything under control. But the word of God says we cannot befriend the world. That's what we just went into. We have to abstain from all appearance of evil. That means you're not going out there after it. You're not running after it. Now, evil happens. Sometimes we can't get away from it. Bad things happen. Sometimes we just can't get away from it. But you don't seek it. I hear so many people say we're sinners saved by grace, but a sinner is somebody who sins. See, that's what he wants to do all the time. But when you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you don't want to sin all the time. Of course, like John says, it's going to happen sometimes. But when it happens, it's not because we want it to happen. We wake up in the morning saying, well, hey, I'm going to be immoral today. I'm going to go out and break my foot plumb off. I'm going to sin until I almost die. No, that is not the concept of a believer. It's not the mindset of a believer. But at this particular point in time, we only have a few minutes left. Let's say we have a guest call number of 646-668-8633. I thank you all for listening and watching the video on tonight. And I pray that God touch you all's heart and bless you and keep you. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask, Lord, that you touch every one of our listeners on tonight. Encourage them, Father God. Let them know that you are with them in good times and in bad times. Father God, we ask that you bless them spiritually, naturally, and financially. Touch their minds and their heart. Give them a greater revelation of your word. And we also come against all unclean spirits, all spirits that would hinder, all spirits that would try to steal the word from their minds and hearts. We bind these spirits up right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, whoever is out there who is suffering with any type of infirmity or physical ailment, Father God, right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus, we ask that you step into the situation and heal them, that your will be done in their lives, Father God, by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we speak this in faith and we believe that it is already done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. All right, that ends our Blog Talk program on tonight. And we wish to get back with y'all next week, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Be blessed. You just started it out.